Up to now, in our study of stewardship, we've considered the things that we manage for God that will, in a sense, follow us into eternity, or at least have eternal significance. Our bodies, our minds, our children, our neighbors, this planet, and the church. Now, everything is going to be transformed when Christ returns, but one way or another, these things have eternal value. Today, we're going to look at some other things that we manage. Tools that are loaned to us in this life with which to manage all the things that we've just already discussed. These tools are extremely important. We need them to accomplish our stewardship. But unlike the things we've already looked at, these tools will not follow us into eternity. You know, it's like this foam brush, okay? I need a foam brush to stain this nice little project, this shelf thing here, and so I can present it as a gift. Now, when I'm all done, I'm going to present this gift to someone, a gift of love. And what do I do with the brush? Wash it out? No, not a foam brush. I'm going to toss that away, okay? I need it now. I need the brush now to prepare my gift, but this is not the gift itself. I discard it when I'm done. Okay, this is the gift. We've studied the things we're going to give to God. Now we're going to look at some of the tools we have in this life to prepare those gifts. Time, money, and spiritual gifts. And today our subject is the stewardship of time. And our text takes us to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the first 8 verses. There is a time for everything, and a season for every activity under heaven. A time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build. A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. A time to embrace and a time to refrain. A time to search and a time to give up. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. There is a time for everything. The preacher, and I believe this is Solomon, considers the futility of so many of our actions in this book. He stresses here that our attitudes and our choices ought to be coordinated with the various occasions of life. The different situations brought into our lives by God's providence call for different responses. Verse 1 begins as a time to be born and a time to die. Now, the translation there is a bit misleading. The New American Standard gets it right here. It should read, there is a time to give birth and a time to die. Solomon is not thinking of these events just passively, but actively. There is a time in life when one should focus on starting a family. There's a time to put one's affairs in order and prepare for death. And the next three pairs develop the idea of creating and destroying, planting, uprooting, killing, time to heal, tearing down, or building. Now, you got to understand that the verbs used here are used symbolically throughout the Old Testament. God plants the heavens. He uproots the nations. He builds the throne of David. He tears down Jehoshaphat's plans. The adulteress kills the virtue of young men. Healing can bless the soul as well as the body. In other words, Solomon is not thinking of specific actions, but rather occasions in life when it's appropriate to begin new things and other times when it's appropriate to end what has gone before. And as we go on, we see that Solomon not just deals with actions, but also with emotions. There's a time to weep, a time to laugh, mourn, dance. The feelings we cultivate in ourselves and the way we express our emotions on the outside should correspond to what is happening in our lives. We live best when we appropriately respond to God's providences. And finally, Solomon applies the same thinking to our relationships, scattering and gathering, embracing and refraining, search, give up, keep, throw away, tear and mend, be silent or speak, love or hate, war or peace, family love, erotic love, friendship between individuals and even nations. Sometimes we need to seek out relationships and bond. Other times we need to distance ourselves or even go into conflict. Actions, emotions, relationships. We should actively choose how we live in accordance with the seasons of life that come upon us. There's a time for everything. And the sense of the Hebrew here is there's an appointed time for everything, not only in the sense that God determines what's going to happen to us, but also in the sense that we need to choose an appropriate response. Because there's a season for every activity under heaven. Life is not all love and embracing and building up. There's a time for those things, but there's a season for every activity. Sometimes are times for war or mourning or tearing down to prepare something new. These negative actions and feelings, those breaking of relationships are not pleasant, but sometimes they are necessary. They are the right thing to do at the time. Do you notice that Solomon has a very different approach to time management than we do? Now, before I make that point, let me remind us that Solomon must have been one of the busiest people in history. He oversaw the courts, he conducted huge building projects, he pursued complex diplomatic ties. I'm sure he had his version of a daytimer or a PDA and his trusty servants who went along with him. But I dare say Solomon accomplished more in his career than most of us will. But for Solomon, time management was much, 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 much more than scheduling. You see, for Solomon, when was tied to why. Whether or not a given task is appropriate at a given time. Just because lots of things presented themselves as urgent did not mean that Solomon would put them on his calendar. Solomon took the time to perceive the time and tell what season it was. Is this a season for planting or uprooting? Is this a time for war or peace? Only then would Solomon the wise start to fill in his schedule. And on that schedule, we see more than just activities and projects and tasks. Also on his schedule would be time to build relationships, time to seek out, time to embrace. Or maybe now's the time to put some relationships on hold because of other necessities. Solomon scheduled his time for his own soul as well. He wrote over 1,000 songs, regularly allowing himself time to weep and time to laugh. Solomon teaches us that time management is a matter of wisdom before it is a matter of scheduling. It deals with what is appropriate to do or be or feel right now. We must use our time to manage the things that matter most. It's a matter of stewardship. We have to use our time to manage the things that matter most. We must acknowledge what God is doing in our lives and respond to His providences, respond to the way things actually are instead of the way we wish they were. And when our scheduling is out of whack with what is most important, we just spin our wheels and we waste our time. I want to draw two implications out of this profound insight of Solomon's. The first is this, our response to life, what today we call our priorities, they need to change as our life situation changes. Solomon experienced and accomplished so much in his lifetime, but he didn't do it all at once. Solomon paced himself over 40 years of rule. As a young man, he personally attended to judgments rendered to commoners. Now, it can't have been too common for a king to decide between two prostitutes, but Solomon wanted to understand the judicial system, the needs of his people, and he wanted to set the standards for justice early on. Later, as he got to know his father's appointments and made some of his own, Scripture says he formed a leadership team for the nation, a team that later could go on to build the best infrastructure the nature would ever see. But the people, the leaders, were important first. Scripture really emphasizes all their names. And all the while, of course, Solomon would be writing his proverbs and his songs to keep his soul supple. When Solomon thought of time management, he thought in terms of a lifetime. What is appropriate for me to be doing and being at this point in my life? Which relationship should I be emphasizing and building and cultivating at this time? See, life has its seasons, and understanding them is the key to being stewards of our time. Yet when we think of time management, we tend to think of a daily schedule. We get into ruts, thinking that every day and every year should be just the same. The same level of commitment to our jobs or our families or our church. We decide on a set of life priorities and then freeze them forever. And then whatever those areas of life demand, well, we just put them on our calendar automatically. Some people try to pretend that everything is equally important all the time. They're the ones who are so busy that their souls will burn out long before their bodies get around to dying. And they miss half of the beauty that even this life can offer. We need a lifetime view of time management. What should I be building in this season of my life? What should I concentrate on tearing down? What relationships do I need to be focusing on in these years? What feelings should I cultivate? What emotions should I be experiencing, sweet or sour, the honey of laughter or the bitterness of tears? What is the context in which I can best respond to God right now? Think about the things of value that will follow you into eternity. Your body, God's temple on earth, destined to be raised incorruptible. Your mind that can enable your whole life to be a living sacrifice of praise. Your children, your neighbors, your planet, its creatures, your church, as God creates a new heavens and a new earth. God has allotted to you a certain amount of time to cultivate and manage these things. Your time in this world is a disposable tool to use in managing the things of eternal value. Christians, stop and evaluate the season of life you are in right now. It is not the same season as those that came before, and this season won't last forever. Are you stuck in a rut? Are you determined to give your job or your family or your church the same amount of attention that you've always given those things? Or are you willing to adapt to the season? Are you willing to cut back whatever needs to be cut back in order to embrace and build up a relationship that should be built up right now? Are you willing to invest more outside of the relationships that nurture you because the larger stewardship of your neighbor or your world or your church demands it right now? Are you willing to tear your clothes and sit in the dust and weep for a while because of what has happened to you or to people you care about? Or are you willing to focus and plan a celebration of something you really can't afford to let slip by unnoticed? It's just too good to take for granted. Each season of life, the Lord is waiting to meet you as you respond appropriately in faith. Ignore the season. Just let the external demands fill your schedule as a slave, and you will miss an appointment with God that could have made your life immensely rich. Second thing I'd like to point out, and it's so obvious because he does this in pairs, is that we need to stop hiding from the negative or the difficult things that happen to us. We like to hide from them, and that's not right. Now, I'm not saying we should let negative situations develop if we can help it. Of course not. But when we find ourselves in a season of life that calls for a difficult or sorrowful response, then that's what we must choose, because there's a time for everything. You know, just after our text, in verse 11, we read that wonderful line, "He has made everything beautiful in its time." There's a time for everything, and God has made everything beautiful in its time. God will work for the good of those who love Him in everything. Every situation of life, even the negative ones, can be made beautiful in its season. We need to recognize the season and live accordingly so we can appreciate that beauty that God can bring out of the trials and sorrows of this fallen and ruined world. For example, there's a time to mourn. Mourning is not a bad thing when it is time to mourn. You know, there are dear Christians who are unable to mourn because they believe it demonstrates a lack of faith. But there is nothing in the world wrong with seeking comfort and support when part of your life is ripped away, seeking comfort from God and from your brothers and sisters. It's wrong to mourn too long. It's wrong to mourn too early. It's wrong for a Christian to mourn without hope. But when it's time to mourn, we should mourn. Mourn the loss of loved ones, or loss of a career, or mourn a broken relationship or a broken body. God can make proper mourning a beautiful thing because it testifies to the worth of the thing we have lost and how much it meant to us, therefore bringing forth gratitude and praise to God for what He's given us. And it brings to mind the hope we have in Christ that disappointment and disease and death one day will be swallowed up in victory. When will you think of those things if not when you are mourning? Solomon says there's a time to throw away. Throw away. You know, we keep old memories and old insights like treasured heirlooms, but sometimes they can be nothing more than mummified pain. And dwelling on them and allowing them to govern our present can be a very bad thing. The same Lord who said, "Remember the former things, those of long ago," can, when such memories hinder the present, say, "Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Don't you perceive it?" When the former things chain us to the past, they got to be thrown away. Negative memories and convictions can be difficult to dislodge. They provide a sense of security by giving us some kind of roots. But Solomon says there comes a time when some things need to be uprooted. And tearing away security blankets that keep our faith infantile can be very painful. But if done at the right time, such putting away of childish things will enable us to grow up in the faith. And that will make our lives far more beautiful. Solomon says there's a time to hate. Sounds strange to our ears. A time to hate. Yes, there is. We should never love evil. We should hate it. When we see injustice or pain or oppression or ignorance or foolishness, it is time to hate. Not people, but the conditions that sap humanity out of those who are created in God's image. We should hate the situation. We should fight to change it. Because that is how God's beauty is often forged in this world. See, our tendency is to resist dealing with things that are hard, that are evil, that are negative. We'd like to pretend that our sin never brought down God's curse upon this world. We'd like to pretend that we are nice, pious Christians and our lives will be free from the pain and hard moral challenges faced by others. We'd like to pretend that we're in control of our environment. And we can define what's appropriate in any given situation. We'd like to pretend that life is different than it really is. And when we do so, it becomes depressing and unmanageable. The truth is that in this world, there is a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And the good news is that in Christ, God has made everything beautiful in its time. We can know that beauty. We can see how God can turn negative things for our good if we will love Him and trust in His love. Acknowledge that He is God. He controls what happens to us. And He can even use the effect of His curse on the world, even that, to somehow bless us if we'll meet Him there. Maybe Solomon can teach us today to stop ignoring some negative things that God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, has allowed to touch us. Now, if it's a negative thing, it's not to be celebrated. It may be your enemy or sent by your enemy, the evil one. But God has promised to work for your good until Christ returns, even in the midst of pain and loss and sorrow, if you will stop ignoring and running away from this season of your life and meet God there. Christian, is this a time for war? Is God calling you to justly oppose evil in this world with force? Has He called you or somebody you dearly love to go into harm's way? Then set about finding God in wartime. Learn to put aside self-righteousness and focus on what is truly righteous and worthy to risk one's life for. Learn to put aside personal and racial hatred and focus your hate on malicious violence and ignorance and intolerable oppression. And pray that God will bring something noble and enduring and beautiful out of this war. Christian, is this a time for you to refrain from embracing? If you're without a mate, is God calling you to focus your energies on raising your kids single-handedly, or maybe accomplishing good in this world and in His church? Or is this a time that He wants to mold you and heal you and shake off the sin that clings so closely so you'll be a good mate to somebody He's preparing you for? If this is your season of life, then set about finding God in your singleness, whatever that means for you. Learn to put aside self-pity and cast your genuine cares on the one who cares for you. And learn to focus your energies in ways that please Him. And look for the beauty that God will bring into this season of your life. And Christian, for all of us, there's going to be a time to die until He returns. Now, many of us don't see our end in this world coming, but often we do have a season to prepare for death. When that season arises, let's set about exalting in the Lord who has conquered death. Let's learn to put our fear of the unknown into perspective, the huge perspective of eternal life in Christ Jesus. And may our last hours here be our finest hours here. And may our faith in Christ bloom and blossom as never before. Oh, pray that God would make our death the most beautiful season of all. It was for Christ. I think Solomon would teach us that in every season of life, our Lord is waiting to meet us at the appropriate place. So let's adapt our priorities to the season so we can use our time to manage things of eternal importance. And let's not ignore Him in the hard times, the bad times, because there's a time for everything. And He can make all things beautiful in its time. Time in this world is a tool. It's a tool to prepare your gifts for your King. One day you're going to lay down the tools that you can't take with you. But use them now. Use the tool of your time now so that one day you can lay before Him your stewardship of all the things that will follow you into eternity.